Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Thomas Butcher Podcast. I'm Thomas Butcher, and this is a podcast where I like to talk to all different types of people, whether it be filmmakers or musicians. On today's episode, I have a young filmmaker by the name of Camion Wade. She is just a couple weeks short of her high school diploma. I really wanted to get the chance to talk to Camion because she is this year's recipient of the Thomas Butcher Award, which is something that I had nothing to do with. Despite the name, it was something that the teacher of Athens TV, Adam Burns, created my senior year. And since then, the best of the best of the Athens TV received the award. And my favorite part about having an award named after you is that you get to go back and you get to talk to young filmmakers when they're just starting out and offer your own advice and maybe help them in some way. So with that, let's get to Camion Wade. So it looks like you are only a couple weeks from graduating high school.
Yep.
What's going through your head?
Well, it's been a little overwhelming because I have all summer where I'm gone and I'm working at a summer camp, and I am already thinking about my move-in date in August, and I'm kind of just thinking about the next step and what I need to do to be successful in the future.
Is this camp something that you've been to many years before? What's the situation with this?
This is my sixth year. I did 5 years as a camper, and then this is the first year that I'll be as a counselor.
First year as a counselor?
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to plan to come back as a counselor again in the future?
Yep, I plan to.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. You see, I wanted to get to talk to you because, you know, I don't know much about you. You're a student in high school, mm-hmm. but you are a filmmaker. You're a young filmmaker who has just won an award that is named after me, I suppose. An award that you get through the film class here at Athens.
Yeah.
The whole thing is still surreal, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only thing that you did win. You've won other awards, mm-hmm. Including the traveling scholarship, I suppose. Tell me, what did you do with that?
So the Griffin Ola Scholarship is something that is run by Athens, and they select a student to give them a $1,000 scholarship to essentially travel anywhere that they want and film something. So I've never been to New York City. And when Burns asked me if I could go one place, where would it be? And I immediately said New York City, almost as a joke. And he said, okay, let's make it happen. And a couple months later, I got a $1,000 check in the mail. We started planning. And last weekend, but the weekend before that, I was on a plane Friday morning for New York City.
Did you have a chaperone with you?
I met my aunt there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That worked out nicely.
Yeah, it did.
So what did you do in New York?
I did a lot in New York. I walked up and down Manhattan, Empire State Building, Times Square, Central Park. I did all that. And I went to Brooklyn. I walked over the Brooklyn Bridge. I took the Staten Island Ferry to Staten Island. Saw the Statue of Liberty. Saw the skyline of New York City from the boat and from the Empire State Building. So, I mean, I did pretty much anything that you could do in 3 days in New York.
3 days. We went as a class because did you go to LA ever with Burns? No, you never did those.
To.
So before he was doing LA, I think the class has done LA 3 times now. It's mm-hmm. like every other year they'll do a trip. My senior year, we did go to New York as a class, and I think we spent about 4 days, and there was so much to see there. And you might get this perspective too years from now, but you know, I was 18 when I went, and I don't think I appreciated it as much as I would going today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you really wanted to go. That was the place you chose personally to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just so much to take in. It's hard to take a pause, just take a moment and look around at everything that there is there because there's so much history in New York City.
Yeah. I remember I was walking down the streets and I actually did stop on the sidewalk and I looked up at this penthouse, and it was just crazy because in New York you have everybody from the homeless to like the richest of the rich in New York. So, and they're only like 400 feet apart from each other. It's just insane to all take in like the stories and the lives that are in New York City.
Yeah. Did you get to see 30 Rock at all?
I did not.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know.
Cause there's a lot in there too.
Yeah. I had an interview to do, and it was raining for it was raining half of Saturday and half of Sunday, so I wasn't able to do as much as I'd like to, so I had to do a lot of indoor attractions for the second day, but I still made it all work. Actually, I used the rain in my video, so it was helpful.
Cool. That works out. Have you been a part of any other cool awards besides those two that we've mentioned?
I was voted to be an all MIPA member for video journalists. So every year I was also elected to be on the MIPA all teams. So essentially they go through and they pick a couple people from each category to be on this board pretty much of students in high school. And then from there they vote one person per category to be all MIPA, and I was voted all MIPA, and I was the first in Athens history to do it. So that was really, really exciting, and I got a $500 scholarship for college. So
how much work really went into that?
A lot. Burns had texted me a while ago saying, he sent it to me, said, oh, would you want to apply for this? And I did a little bit of research. He's like, we've never done it before, and you're someone who I could see possibly getting it. So we went through, you had to make a website, so we had to sit down and make a website and a portfolio. We had to make a resume. We had to get 3 letters of rec. So it was essentially more than I did for a lot of college applications. So it was a very long process. I had to go through and make sure I had all my videos uploaded to YouTube. And then once it was all finished, we just kind of filled out all the needed requirements and sent it off. And then a couple weeks later, I got a letter in the mail, and I remember telling Burns that I got the letter, and I hadn't opened it yet because I was nervous. And so I opened it, and that was when I got elected for the all team. And then once we got to the MIPA awards, that's when they told me that I was all MIPA. So it was a really long process, but it was definitely worth it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's so great. I'm really happy for you because you're, like we said, you're a young filmmaker, mm-hmm. and you're just about to finish up high school here. And I think you have a real great leg up on everything with the experiences that you've had thus far.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to think because I'm working with this district as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And sure, education is important to go out and doing things like that. And you have to know how to put a resume together and look professional. But if you're looking for anything media wise, mm-hmm. you basically have to have your online digital portfolio all together. And over time, that builds up like crazy.
Yeah, it does.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
You're 17. How much work do you think you have right now that you put your name to?
I have a lot of work, and it's all in different categories. So I like don't just do shorts, and I don't just do documentaries. I do kind of a little bit of everything to show that I can do everything. And I'm also not just like a director or producer. I'm also the producer, the director. I've acted in a couple of them. I've written some of them. So I've put a lot of work into this year and all the videos that I've made.
And that is very valuable because I'm basically have been in the same boat since I was your age. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to wear many hats and go from being the writer to director, producer, actor, all that, mm-hmm. you get many perspectives
yeah.
on what filmmaking is mm-hmm. and just art in general. And you're able to borrow from each of those areas and help apply them towards the other areas.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agreed.
And not only have you been involved in visual storytelling, but, and I really want to hear more about this because I don't know much about it, but you're a poet, is that right?
Yeah.
So tell me about this poetry.
So I have been writing poetry pretty much since I was little.
What's little? 6 years old?
Pretty much since I could write. I remember I had this little dog journal I used to write in, but it was how I dealt with a lot of stuff that happened when I was a kid. I didn't really have another outlet. I had to grow up when I was very young. So I remember every night I'd kind of just sit down and I would write. And I've never been very good with spelling or grammar, but I began writing pretty much, yeah, since I was 6. And then in 5th grade, I remember I wrote a little bit more. And throughout middle school, I kept writing and I would have journals and journals and journals of poetry. And in 9th grade, one of my friends was going through something super duper difficult. So I sent her a couple of my poems and I was like, this is how I cope with it. Maybe it'll help you. And she was like, you need to publish these. And I was 13 at the time because I came into high school when I was 13 because my birthday's so late. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to publish them. Like, who's going to read a 13-year-old's poetry? And so I got a bunch of poems together and I edited them and I typed them all out on a Google Docs, and I gave them all different categories and titles and stuff. And then I finally had like pretty much it done, and then I looked up how much does it cost to publish a book, and it costs about $600 to publish a book. And I was thinking, there's no way I'm gonna be able to, like, it's
and that's insane. Self-published?
That's self-published. So if I were to like go through a publishing company, there was no way I was gonna be able to afford it. Cause then I was 14, cause this is sophomore year. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just kind of have to wait. And then I was doing a little bit more research, and Amazon Publishing came up, where you can pretty much upload your manuscript for free. All you have to pay for is the printing, and that's like $2 a book. So I published it September of 2017, and I didn't really expect very much. I was like, okay, like 50 people are going to buy it. And then all of a sudden, I had 300, 400 books bought in 1 month, and everyone kind of I guess realized like what I was doing was real. I didn't even tell my parents until a week after I published it. And they came up to me and they're like, do you have a published book? And I was like, oh yeah, I did that last week. I like totally forgot to mention it.
Usually that conversation goes, are these your drugs that we found in the dresser? No. Oh, is this your book that you published?
Yeah. So,
wow.
So I published it, and, once I realized that I was actually selling a lot, and then I started selling internationally, France, Australia, India. It was really insane to kind of comprehend. And so all my friends were like, well, you have to write a second one. So then I wrote a second one, and now I have two published poetry books with about 3,000 copies sold.
Did any marketing go into this?
No, I actually didn't market the first book at all. Like, I just uploaded it. That's all I did.
So how did people actually find it?
Honestly, I have no idea, because at first it was super slow, like I thought it was. And then all of a sudden December hit, where Christmas time happened, and I was selling, like I said, 500 copies in the month. And so I honestly have no idea how it marketed, because I did, the most that I did was post on my Twitter about it. Like, that was the most I did. And that was it. And then all of a sudden it started taking off, and I was on like Goodreads, and and if you look up my name, it comes up as author, and like I really didn't do very much for it. It just took off. I'm actually publishing my third book next September, so September of 2019, and that one I'm going to market, because the money that I've gotten for the first two books, now I actually have the money to market this third one. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan. But yeah.
Wow, I can't even imagine that. It's almost like, I don't want to be, you know, overdramatic or anything, but it seems like it's fate almost.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. And I love telling stories, and that's what I did in poetry. And in poetry, grammar and spelling, it didn't always matter, because there was no real grammar in poetry. So it's where I found my outlet. And once my friends told me that I was able to put their feelings into words that they couldn't, I just kind of took off with it. And I still write all the time.
Now I'm wondering, is there, like, what's your writing process when it comes to poetry? Is it any different than when you sit down to write a script? Do you sit down and say, I need to write something now? Or are you just going about your day and it comes to you?
I'm going about my day and it comes to me. I was sitting on a plane during spring break, and I was going to Key West, and I was flying over some city at night, and I just kind of came to me. So I opened my notes and I typed it, and then I put it away. And that's pretty much how I do it with everything. And it's the same with scripts. I'll just be walking down the street and I'll see something, or I'll just think, that's it, that's the idea, and I'll write down the idea. And then later on, I'll sit down and then I'll type the script out. Usually I type the script out in one take. I usually write the script in, like, I usually write a script in about one day, because once I get that idea going, I just kind of sit down with my
and
computer,
how long are these scripts?
My longest one right now is 32 pages, so not very long. They're all shorts. Mm-hmm. My shortest one is 6 pages, and my longest is, yeah, so
you're hoping to transition into feature length?
Yeah.
Screenplay writing?
Yeah, I'm making that slowly.
And I'm also wondering, because poetry has a lot of similarities, I think, to song lyrics.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Have you ever considered being a lyricist for songs?
Yeah, actually I've written a couple songs. I can play ukulele, and so I know my strings and chords and stuff like that, and so I would find a pattern and then I would just kind of go with it, because like you said, song lyrics are essentially just poetry with like a melody to it. So once I had the lyrics down, then I could just transition and find the right chords, and then I pretty much made a song.
See, this makes me very excited because, as we said before, you wear different hats. And that's something that's like kind of on the outside of the filmmaking umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like people who have and draw from different experiences and have these different talents, that makes them even more talented. And mm-hmm. it just opens up more doors for them. So that makes me very excited to hear that from someone who's 17.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. So you're still writing your poetry, you're going through up the ranks in high school. You find this class when you're a junior?
I got into this class when I was a senior. I found it when I was a junior, but I didn't actually start really making films until this year.
Really?
Yeah.
You've only been filmmaking for 1 year
mm-hmm.
and you got to where you are.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I started when I was in middle school, so it took me like 4 years until I was, doing mm-hmm. okay as a senior.
Yeah.
Wow.
In middle school, I mean, I never like had a camera or anything. The only thing that I really did before this was I would throw together videos from cheer practice or videos and pictures for people's birthdays. Like that was pretty much it. I had never actually sat down, wrote a story. I had never storyboarded. I had never written a script. I had never done any of that until this year. So, yeah.
Well, in that case, let me give you just a little advice as you move forward. Because this is something that I find a lot of young student filmmakers or whatever that they often struggle with. And it's not to like their fault or anything. It's mm-hmm. just the way that filmmaking is often taught is that we usually focus on the technical side
mm-hmm.
because that's something that I think is more easily can be taught.
Yeah.
So composition, lighting, editing, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. That's something that a lot of student filmmakers focus on. Not enough of them, I think, focus on the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And your actors are your film.
Yeah.
So I've heard stories before where they barely even talk to the actors. They're like, okay, this is your line. You just go and say it, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And these are people who are well into their 20s.
Yeah.
And that's their approach. I think it's very important to talk through with your actors about what the character is, what their arc is, what their goals are, mm-hmm. objectives, that kind of thing. And just when I see directors who do that, mm-hmm. the film is obviously much better.
Yeah.
So as you move forward as a director and a writer, think about the character and how your actors can tackle that character.
Yeah. In one of my shorts, it's about a kid who it's pretty much like a comedy skit, but it's somebody who is walking out of school and someone is like imposing as them, and so everyone is like, like you were just here, and the character's like, no, I wasn't, like I was somewhere else. And when we've been filming that, I've had such a good time filming it because I'm really good friends with my actors, and it's like once we film it and get it all over with, we go back and we watch it and we can laugh about it and stuff. And I was actually filming it and one of my friends was like, oh, I just have a quick question about my character, when really his character had no lines. He was just joking around. But like just to have the environment where it was entertaining and we got things done and like we all had a good relationship, like that was probably like my favorite part about it.
And it's good that you have that relationship with them where you mm-hmm. can achieve and, have a set goal all together. It can be difficult though sometimes if you're going to be working with friends, because friends aren't always going to take it as seriously as you might. And you might not think it now, but there may come a time, unless any of your friends become professional actors, there'll be a time where you probably outgrow them.
Yeah.
Meaning that you'll have to look to people who are more at the caliber of what you're trying to produce.
Yeah, agreed.
So don't take, obviously communication is very important
mm-hmm.
in anything like that, but that's just part of the learning experience.
Yeah.
Any filmmaker has pretty much done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, geez, you've only been here for a year. Can you imagine life if you didn't get in this class?
No. I actually had a completely different career option. I was going to go into marine biology.
Marine biology?
Yeah, I have a very, very big passion for the ocean. I could pretty much tell you, I could talk to you for hours about sharks. I'm fascinated by sharks, and pretty much everybody knows it. I have a shark bumper sticker. My backpack used to be a shark. Like I'm obsessed with sharks. But I really struggled with chemistry. And so chemistry was probably the class that I studied the hardest for, and I couldn't get an A in it. And it really, really got to me because I had such a passion for it. And I had planned on going into it until this year when I got into this class and I started actually realizing that I had a passion for filmmaking and I was good at it. So I felt like I was chasing my passion while also having skill in it versus marine biology, when I really just had a passion for it and I was not as skilled in the science field as I wish I had been.
That's something I wish more people would understand, is that there is more than one way that you can be considered smart.
Yeah.
And sure, there's reasons why you have certain classes as requirements to be able to achieve certain titles, such as becoming a marine biologist. Mm-hmm. And just because you can't pass that class to the degree that you would like to, doesn't mean that you don't have the knowledge that many other marine biologists might, you know, obtain over the years.
Yeah.
You have a passion for that. But it's often that you find that filmmaking in general does get overlooked as a legitimate career.
Yeah.
It's not something that people say, you should go and try this, you know?
Yeah, no,
it's agreed. Usually people find it on their own.
Yeah. I feel like filmmaking is very similar to like the fine arts category, where people will say, I want to be a musician or I want to be an artist, and people kind of overlook it as if, like you said, it's not like a legitimate career. But it really is, and it takes talent and it takes skill and intelligence to get into it and to be good at it. It's not just, you can't just pick up a camera and be able to tell a story. One of the biggest compliments someone's ever told me is that I have an eye for filmmaking. So when I look at something, I can see, okay, we're going to shoot this angle, when everyone around me is like, oh, I didn't even see that. And that is something that you can't learn. Mm-hmm. It's something that pretty much like you have to acquire by yourself.
And that makes me so sad when there's so many people that go out there to do something along the any lines of art, mm-hmm. is that you can't teach talent.
No.
You have to have that to begin with.
Yeah.
You can go to those schools to help elevate that if mm-hmm. you have that, but you can't go there expecting to become some fantastic, you know, auteur if you don't have that in your mindset already.
Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of films do you like?
I love romantic comedies. I love dramas, mysteries. I've done documentaries, but I don't really like them just because I'm not a huge history buff.
Right.
So, but editing them, I have found is very less
therapeutic.
It's mm-hmm. Less complicated than like shorts and that kind of thing. But yeah, pretty much I'm a sucker for romance. So like, anything that has anything to do with
that. So give us some movie examples. The Notebook.
I actually didn't like The Notebook
very
much.
You didn't like The Notebook?
I did not like The Notebook very
much.
Oh,
wow.
I know. I also really like action, but I don't think I could ever see myself making an action movie.
Action has got, you have to be really talented and really know what you want if you're going to do an action
and
film.
And it's a lot of money that goes into it, a lot of talent. So, a lot of time. Yeah. And so like, I love all the Marvel movies, but I don't see myself making those types of movies.
So you want to stay away from special effects altogether?
Yeah, pretty much. But I really liked If I Stay. I really like chick flicks pretty much.
We're in a time where certain phrases are being challenged and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you're okay with the chick flick label?
Yeah.
Why so?
Because it's not even like that it's a label. It's just like, it's a chick flick because girls are going to be more interested in that storyline tend to be than guys. Like when you look at the statistics, sure, guys can go and enjoy it. That's totally fine. Anybody can go enjoy it. It's a movie. It's a film. It's made to be entertaining. It's not made to have the label on it. Like, it's just, because then you could say that anything about, like, rom-coms. Well, why can you call it romantic comedy if there's humor? Or, like, if there's, like, seriousness, or maybe, like, the storyline isn't all romance or isn't all comedy. So, I don't know. I think labels can be pretty dumb sometimes, but in our world, you kind of have to have them.
For marketing purposes, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. And guys will go watch chick flicks if they want to go watch them, or romantic comedies or whatever you want to call them. But at the end of the day, it's all the labels mean the same thing. It's still a story.
Mm-hmm. I've always felt like the label chick flick pushes men away, usually. At least certain type of, you know, alpha males, if you will. And, I mean, I think I've probably seen some chick flicks in my time. Don't they usually get associated too as being like low budget TV movies?
I mean,
usually,
I've never
like
heard that.
Lifetime.
I've never heard that. No? I just always think whenever anybody says chick flick to me, I think that it's going to be a romance of some sort, like with, as put in quotes, like gooey romance where mm-hmm. it's like, where girls all over it and guys are like, what is this? Like that tends to be what chick flicks are whenever I think of that label. But
you said you're also interested in other genres,
mm-hmm.
but do you see yourself doing the romantic comedies more so than any other genre in your career?
Yeah, I do. But my all-time favorite movie is The Sandlot. So
The Sandlot, wow.
Yeah, that's my all-time. I'm a pretty big baseball fan, and so I've always liked that movie about the kids and how they pretty much have kids from. I just like the different dynamic of every kid. Like all the kids are there to pretty much represent something. And there's a little bit of romance and there's a lot of bit of comedy. And so it's just, I always have loved that movie ever since I was a kid.
So you like elements of like coming of age stories,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, coming of age.
Okay. That's nice. Any specific actors or directors that you look up to?
My favorite all-time actress is Jennifer Aniston.
Why?
She's always been my favorite actress. I grew up watching the show Friends.
Of course.
And any movie that she's been in, I've never been disappointed with what she does, ever. I've never been disappointed in her role, how she's gone through it. And I've also never been disappointed with what she does off screen. So, like, I've read articles about what she does, and some actors are rumored to be not as good of people as they are on screen, and I've never seen that in her. Granted, I don't know her personally, but I've always looked up to her as an actress, and she just always presents herself in such like a well-mannered way that I've just always looked up to her.
Yeah, it's great to know when famous people don't let the fame get to their head.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I'm sure you've heard, and everyone has heard, some horror stories about people just treating other people terribly.
Yeah.
And who wants to work with someone like that?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I hope it's true, and I hope you get to work with her one day.
Oh my goodness.
What would happen? I mean, no, think about that, though. The best example I can use is Christopher Nolan and how, what was it, his third feature film, he's using actors like Al Pacino and Robin Williams. So, yeah. Imagine your second or third film. You're working with that caliber actors.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think I would definitely fangirl the first day. I would definitely just...
You would have to try and be professional,
though. I would, but the first couple of minutes of seeing her, I think I would fangirl. But I'd also be a lot older, so that's helpful.
Right. Right.
But yeah.
Any directors come to mind?
I mean, I'm not a huge history or horror movie person,
mm-hmm.
but I've always found Alfred Hitchcock's movies very interesting. Just how he takes turns that not a lot of directors do, like mm-hmm. in the movies, and there's always plot twists, which I like really like, and how he directed things. I really liked the movie that just came out where you can't talk.
You can't talk. A
Quiet Place, yes.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie. I watched that.
And that's interesting because that you know who directed that, right?
Yeah, he directed, produced, and acted in it.
John Krasinski.
Yeah.
And that's
always,
his first one.
I know, and I've always looked up, when I heard that, it was insane because he pretty much, like, he directed it, he produced it, and he was in it. So mm-hmm. it was just like, but that was something I thought was really, really cool.
It's the same thing with Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born because that was his first directing feature as well. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing now these people who have been successful actors for years starting to break into directing. And you know, sure, they've had success in the entertainment industry for all these years, mm-hmm. but they're older and they're starting to make their first feature film.
Yeah.
And I think that's inspiring to know that you don't have to be a director 24/7 to still be a director.
Yeah.
So. Well, you are graduating in just a couple of weeks. You nervous?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm really excited to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. So you have plans?
Yeah, I have. I plan on, because I've been using all of the school's equipment this whole year, so I plan on buying the camera that I've been using in here for next year, and I'm planning on majoring. Actually, I'm not quite sure what I'm majoring in I'm leaning towards communication, but I'm not 100% sure, and then minoring in journalism. So I'll have a decently well-rounded education, because I think that's super important for directing and writing, is not to, like you said, to wear many hats, to not just know how to make a film, because if you know how to make a film but you don't have a story, there's not going to be a film to make. So I'm trying to get as much of a well-rounded education that I can to go into this industry.
That makes me so happy to hear that, because I myself, I majored in communication, minored in broadcasting. You're essentially having the same mindset. And I've heard this before, where all these people, they'll go into film school, you know, they'll study to be filmmakers, and they'll all have that those same ideas in their head.
Yeah.
And it's so much more valuable when you can study something else and then take what you learn from that and apply it to filmmaking,
like
communication or philosophy or whatever it is you're going to do. So I am very much looking forward to what you're going to do in your future. And if there's anything I can do, you just let me know. You're staying in Michigan, I believe?
Yeah, for college, but I plan on moving out after college.
Right. Right. As one should and would hope to do eventually.
Yeah.
Because Michigan, unfortunately, doesn't have that film industry.
Yeah, exactly.
Type. Would you be happy, though, if you had a job in the industry where, let's say, you just ended up being a writer? Would you be content with that?
Probably not.
No. So you have to be a director.
I don't have to be so much of a director. I would like to be more involved than just writing. I'd like to be involved like on the set, working with people, because I feel like just because with my poetry books, a lot of people are like, oh, so you're going to be a writer. And I said, no, that's just a hobby. Like, my poetry is really just a hobby for me. I'm not planning on pursuing it as a career. And people are like, are you insane? Like, if you're good at it and you're making money off of it, why wouldn't you not just pursue it? But I think it's because I always want something new. And I feel like when you're writing, like, you write a script, yes, you can go on and write another script, but I want it to go into how they turn those words on that paper into life and how they turn it into a story. And because you can read a story, but when you actually watch it and see human emotion with it, it's a whole different thing. So that's really what I want to be involved with.
Yeah, there's a whole other layer of communication. There's so many things that go into film. You got the color of it, the music. There's, I mean, it's unlike any other medium that you could do. So that's why people like us get drawn to it.
Yeah. I've never been very good with numbers. Like I said, I struggled with science and I struggled with math. And I was, it's hard in the society because you get told that you're not smart when you, if you get a low SAT score, if you don't do well on tests and stuff like that. And I kind of found this and it was something that I was really good at and I loved. So.
And if it makes you feel any better, I don't know how I look to you if I'm doing well or not as a filmmaker, but the, I was pretty much the same. I was not great at science or history or anything. I was a C and D student consistently. And it's funny for me to think about how I ended up getting hired by the school district to do something that the school district did not necessarily teach me to do.
Yeah.
It's more valuable than a lot of people might realize, and it becomes more valuable every day.
Yeah.
And you might not always going to be perfect at everything, but as long as you have the mindset to continue to try and become better than you were yesterday, then you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about this. I hope this becomes like a really cool thing years from now.
Yeah.
That people can listen
back.
Oh my God, she was in high school, right?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on graduating.
Thank you.
These next couple of weeks.
Thank you for having me on.
And then, of course, for going on to college. And I'm looking forward to seeing your name in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Thomas Butcher Podcast. We have new episodes every Monday. You can find us on Facebook at Thomas Butcher Podcast. This has been a production of the Thomas Butcher Company.